This is Focus
with Cassie McCullough
on ABC Radio Sydney.
Hello, good to be with you on ABC Radio Sydney this morning. Now, we're going to take a look at the rise of non-invasive body treatments. I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated by the things that people are having done to themselves, to their bodies, to their skin, to their faces. And in a moment, specialist dermatologist Ritu Gupta will be here. And we're going to hear about the current generation of procedures, everything from fat freezing and fat dissolving and these muscle building, fat reducing machines, ultrasound, all this kind of, well, kind of stuff that's new, I suppose. I'm going to find out if it is. You might want to ask a question about it. Feel free to do that, 1300 222 702. And, you know, the other part of this conversation, I think, is do you feel, perhaps particularly if you're a female, that you kind of need to keep up and this is part of your professional routine? I'd be interested to hear from you as well. 1300 222 702. Ritu Gupta is here. She's a specialist dermatologist, and we're going to talk about some of these treatments, and we'll meet Becky Lucas later on. Now, Ritu, this is such an interesting part of contemporary 2021 life, mm-hmm. I think, what we're going to talk about. But first, can we start with Mayor of East Town?
Right, yeah, great show. Loved it.
Yeah, this is this HBO series that has been a smash hit, and it had a finale last night, which I think broadly is being described as very satisfying, yep, end to the show. But it's about a female detective on a murder case. Kate Winslet in the lead role. She's mayor, and she's had rave reviews for her portrayal of this aging, frazzled female detective in a small town with all these tragedies and complexities, yep, in her life. But what's sort of so amazing about her is she looks like a real, I don't know, what, 50-year-old?
Yeah, she looks like a real person. In fact, I thought that when I watched the series, I also thought her friend, Laurie, looked very real. You don't often see people on television with as many sort of brown splodges and blodges as she had. So I think they've done a good job with that. I mean, Kate Winslet has probably had a few tweaks and things to even look at the level she does.
Yeah, I wonder about that because she's quite sort of, she came out about 10 years ago very strongly against cosmetic surgery and said that people who looked perfect weren't sexy or something too, yeah, those kind of words. And you know, I think maybe if she has, it hasn't been as extreme as maybe what we saw in the Friends reunion last week.
Yes, I saw a bit of that too. I thought, oh,
yeah, Jennifer terrible. Aniston and Courtney. Oh, you didn't like what you saw there?
No, I thought it was very overdone. I mean, I would hope that what people are really looking for is to look their best and look refreshed. They don't want to look like someone else. They just want to look like a sort of not tired version of themselves.
Yeah, because some of the people have said that Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston look kind of frozen in time, as if they kind of were 30-year-olds in, you know, 50-year-olds' bodies, and alongside the guys
who were there. Yeah. Joey's face, it was so pumped up, full of filler.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. So there is this sort of pressure on people, and also this high level of visibility of these kind of procedures. And I wonder if, you know, what we are being told there, is it a kind of a pressure, social pressure, or is this really for people to feel better? And I don't think I'd have an answer, and I'm sure you don't have an answer, but you probably talk to people all day long about
this.
Yeah,
look, I think it's a combination. In terms of the patients that I see medical and cosmetic dermatology patients, often, and it is more for women, I suppose, but, I mean, we're working longer, we're living longer. People feel that if they look old for their age, then they look irrelevant. And particularly for women, they feel invisible. You know, if they're in a room full of 30-year-olds and they're 45, 50 or above. You know, men get to sort of have gravitas and look sort of distinguished, but unfortunately women feel more judged, and I think that is the case.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, that might lead them to doing some of the procedures that we're going to talk about.
Yep.
I wonder if this is you and you've had something done and you feel you did it for yourself, 1-300-222-702. Maybe you did it to make yourself feel, I don't know, just happier walking out into the world. Or maybe you did think, oh, this could be good for my employment prospects, or this could be good because I'm going back out on the dating scene. Or, you know, what was the motivation and what's the feeling that you've had about it? What have you thought later on? I'd be interested to know. Dr. Ritu Gupta is with us. Now, I'm always fascinated by the advertising I see and the places I drive past offering all these procedures. Can we just talk about some of the ones that I've noticed? Fat freezing. What is this and how does that work?
So, look, I mean, there's been a big increase in the sort of non-invasive body treatments, so non-surgical, not going under the knife. And there are treatments. The simplest way to think about it is just think of the anatomy of the body itself. So there are skin treatments for tightening and lifting and stimulating collagen remodeling. There are treatments for fat. So fat can be heated, it can be frozen, it can be dissolved, it can be massaged, all with the hopeful endpoint of reducing the fat or killing the fat cell, selective fat cell damage. The muscle can also be stimulated both electrically and magnetically. And we know that, for instance, with muscle, we lose 5% muscle every decade. So this is actually something that athletes do, footballers do, swimmers do, because it builds their muscle, it strengthens and stabilizes their core. So they'll often use it pre-season to get in shape, and then mid-season to maintain, and then also for recovery. And in a way, I suppose it is a bit of a cheat, but it's not a drug. So it's allowed.
So how does that work? So you have a machine that causes your muscles to tighten and loosen?
Well, basically it's stimulating muscle contraction, which can be done either electrically, which is perhaps not, the studies are not, there aren't as many studies to support that, or electromagnetically. And so it's stimulating more than, say, if we talk about the tummy, 20,000 muscle contractions. So it's like doing 20,000 sit-ups, which is clearly not possible. So that...
Just 20 would be great. Yeah,
exactly. So that increases your muscle bulk by up to 25%. And also it combines with something called radiofrequency, which heats the fat to 42 degrees to basically cause fat cell death. And so you can lose up to 30% fat. So you're sort of getting two in one. That's just one particular machine, but there are multiple different devices.
And how recently has this been used? Is this a kind of...
The one I'm mentioning has just been released in Australia in March this year, so that's pretty new. It's been in the US and the UK for a number of years. I mean, there are more than 30 sort of peer-reviewed studies on it. But it's an increasing area, I think, because people are realising, they want their body to match their face. They are often time poor. So, you know, going to the gym and maintaining. I mean, obviously people who've got a healthy lifestyle and diet are always going to do best. But also, I suppose with some of these more sculpting treatments, like if you want to lift and tighten your buttocks, but without getting rugby thighs, it's very hard to do that unless, you know, because if you do a whole lot of squats to build your gluteal muscles, then you're also going to have the byproduct of getting big, thick thighs, which if you're a female, you may not want.
I see. So this is really about kind of shaping yourself to what you'd
target.
Like to be.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, the sort of tuck shop arms and, you know, I suppose we all have areas that we would like to improve. At the end of the day.
Very good at identifying exactly what is wrong with them, I think. You know,
that's true.
Something we've kind of been conditioned to do and, you know, we're practically professionals at it. But I see. So this is something like just say I'm a superstar. Getting ready to be in a Hollywood blockbuster.
Yeah, they often use it too.
Would
that's
they?
Right. Yep.
Like they'd say, okay, you know, give us 3 months
six
and
pack,
I'll
all
knock
that
off.
Sort of stuff.
Right, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's for muscle treatments and fat treatments. There's also, I think the other thing is that for years there was nothing that could be done for a saggy neck or sort of jowls because these were areas that were much more difficult to treat. So the technology has also improved. So, you know, we can have tightening of the sort of looseness of the jawline, of the neck, the crepiness, without without, you know, going down a surgical route and needing a neck lift that's, you know, many, many tens of thousands of dollars and a general anaesthetic, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, we're talking about these procedures and I wonder, you know, do you see this as, you know, a refresher? You know, is it about the words? Is it kind of important to you? And do you feel invisible as an older person? Maybe that's something that you really have experienced. 1300 222 702. Here's a couple of people on our text line. I'm 54 and in great shape, but work out with weights and have lost fat in my face, says one person here. What's the best way to replace that? We'll ask Rita in a moment. And another one here. I'm 57 and very low maintenance. Can't be bothered dyeing my hair or any sort of injections. I found the best way to reduce wrinkles is to take off your glasses.
Good advice.
It doesn't cost a thing. I feel sorry, says someone else, for Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. The pressure on them and the trauma they must have around their faces and bodies being scrutinised. Yeah, I wonder. I wonder what, that does go through their mind. They must see it as part of their professional life every day. Imagine how boring that could be, doing all those sit-ups and everything. The other person here says some procedures are done so well that you really can't tell what's being performed. And this is something
absolutely
that you hear all the time. Yeah. Is that the sort of gold standard?
That is the gold standard. I mean, the gold standard is that, you know, everyone will notice but no one will know. You know, so people say, gee, you look well. Have you had a haircut? Or you know, gosh, your skin looks great.
Yeah, that dress looks great on you. That colour's good for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think, I mean, it, certainly as a specialist, that's the sort of result I'm after for my patients. You know, I would run a mile if someone said to me, I want to look 20 years younger. You know, you don't want to be treating people to make them look anatomically strange, you know, these Brazilian butt lifts or these pumped up lips and handlebar cheekbones. That's not normal. It's not aesthetically pleasing.
Hang on. I've heard of the Brazilian butt lift, but what's the handlebar cheekbone?
Well, you know, sort of just massive cheekbones that are sticking out and out of all proportion to the face, or the trout pout, the big lips.
Right.
And, you know, people where you do a double take and if you're not trained, you can't quite work out what the problem is, but you know they don't look normal. They look weird. And I think those sorts of results are A, irresponsible by the practitioner who does them, and B, it's really not an aesthetically pleasing result.
Okay. 1300 222 702. Anita is with us. Good morning to you, Anita. Great to have you aboard this morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I rang in because I'm 52. I'm menopausal. And because of a recent bout of Bell's palsy and steroids, I've gained weight, mainly around my tummy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible to lose it. I've been doing my best other than exercise and being time poor, as your guest said. I've been working very hard with diet, but just can't lose it. And I've been considering one of these fat freezing tummy target areas.
Mm-hmm.
What would be Dr. Gupta's recommendation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we just want to be clear that we're not recommending procedures because these are on the borderline between medical and cosmetic. So you've got to make your own decisions about it. But it is a really interesting question. What is this fat freezing? How does it actually, you know, get something out of the freezer and
stick
it
on? Well, interesting that you say that, Cassie. The way it was discovered, it was called popsicle paniculitis. So it was discovered by kids from 1940 through to 1970 who sucked popsicles, ice blocks, in the US. And they found that kids who did that they lost the fat in the lower part of their cheeks, and they got this hollowness in the cheeks. And that's how it was discovered that if fat was frozen, it led to cell death, irreversible cell death. So that's the good news, that if fat freezing is done well, it works well for pinch-inch fat. So it's not for people who are, we call them now high BMI, it's not for people who are obese. It's for people who have problem areas that no matter how much diet or exercise they do, they just can't shift them. So, yes, around the tummy, the sort of so-called saddlebags, under the arms. And basically the fat is sucked into a cup. There are various brands of devices, and it is frozen.
Through the skin, so that you put a, some sort of...
It's a vacuum pressure cup. It sucks the fat in. It doesn't particularly hurt. And the fat is frozen, depending upon the device, to sort of minus 9 degrees or thereabouts. And that causes selective cell death or medically what's called apoptosis.
But doesn't it just make a cup-sized... sort of hollow? I mean, what? How does it...
Well, the cups have to be placed appropriately with a good knowledge of anatomy and how, you know, what, again, what is aesthetically normal and what is aesthetically pleasing. But it doesn't suck it in like that. It doesn't stay concave. Basically, it freezes the fat, usually for about an hour. Then it's released. We use a sort of shockwave machine, which then pummels the fat to break up the dead fat cells. The more you exercise, the faster your body will eliminate that fat.
And so it gets absorbed, the dead cells get absorbed into the bloodstream or something.
Yeah, basically the body's mop-up cells, which are called macrophages, go in and chew it all up. It's also broken down to free fatty acids in the bloodstream, and it's excreted both by the lymphatic system and by the kidneys. It doesn't increase, you know, any impact on your organs. And then usually we would do a first assessment about 3 months later.
Mm-hmm. And so this is considered sort of routinely usable and safe?
Yeah, look, you know, obviously there are potential side effects with everything, you know, and there are certain contraindications, people, you know, who can't have it, people who have sensitivity to cold, people who are pregnant, people who have active infection in the area. But by and large, if it's done properly and well, it's a reasonably safe procedure.
Mm-hmm. And what would that cost? I mean, is this something that you'd have done a number of times, or is it a one-off?
Some of these machines can achieve up to 30% fat reduction. So can the area be retreated? Yes, it can. Again, you know, maintaining with a healthy diet and exercise is always going to give someone the best results. Cost will vary, you know, from place to place. But I think the best advice I can give your listeners is, you know, see a specialist practice, you know, a specialist dermatologist or specialist plastic surgeon. You know that they will have done their research, they will have chosen a good device, they will have trained their staff appropriately, and if there are problems, they'll manage the problems.
Mm-hmm. Here's a message on our text line, 0467 922 702. You might want to join this conversation. Thanks to Anita for her question about that procedure that we just heard about. Here's another one. Someone says, I'm 58. I've just been made redundant and I'm about to spend $5,000 on fillers and Botox and skin treatment. Otherwise, I have no chance of a job. Hmm. What would you do? What would you say to someone who came in and spoke to you and told that, you know, that was the motivation?
Well, look, I mean, I think it's a sort of a sad situation, obviously, and it is a bit of an indictment on our society that if you do look older, that people can think that you're irrelevant and invisible, as I said, when in fact you've probably got twice the wisdom of your 30-year-old counterparts. Look, my approach there would be just to take it in a stepwise fashion. Always better to undertreat than overtreat. You don't want to look overdone because that can, you know, have the opposite effect to what you're trying to achieve. I think some of these treatments also will just help from a confidence point of view because people will look and feel better and so therefore they will project better and they'll come across better.
Yeah, I think perhaps so if you haven't, you know, a lot of people wouldn't understand how limiting that can be. In a workplace or socially, and I do think about people who are, you know, really wanting to repartner perhaps.
Yeah.
This being an important kind of consideration in that, and I'm not endorsing it. And a lot of people are sort of, you know, obviously feel like it's important we say the message is you are beautiful on your own as you are.
Absolutely.
But this is what people are doing. This is happening and people are choosing to
look,
do.
I think the thing is not to judge, because no one knows how they'll feel when they're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my approach, not to judge. And if someone's going to have these things done, it's better they're done by a specialist or in a specialist practice and done well.
What about some of the other treatments? Now, there's fat-dissolving injections. Now, this... I can't even kind of get my head around this.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? What?
So they're based on deoxycholic acid, which is a bile salt. So that's what bile does in our gallbladder. It breaks down fat. So that's how it was sort of, you know, some smart person thought, oh, well, look, you know, it works in the gallbladder. Let's give it a try. So it can be injected. The sort of TGA approved indication is to inject it for the double chin. It certainly works. There are a lot of off-label uses. People use it for the sort of what's called the bra bulge and other places. It can be quite painful and can cause quite a lot of swelling. It's something that I have done. It's not my sort of preferred treatment for fat. Fat only would probably be freezing. And my preferred treatment for someone who wants muscle definition and fat would be to do both, would be actually use radio frequency to heat the fat and kill it that way, and then stimulate muscle contraction, which not only builds the muscle but also increases the metabolic rate. So that also helps reduce fat.
Someone on our text line is saying, I have heard that with cold fat removal treatments, they also benefit a reduction in overall cholesterol levels. Is that true?
No, I don't think that's been shown.
You don't think that's true? Okay. And here's another one. I'm in my mid-30s, a female professional, and have just started a foray into Botox to look good for my age. Forehead 11s. Now, you'll know what that is, mm-hmm. Ritu. I think there is an ingrained pressure for women to look their best for their age. There is an ingrained misogyny and pressure for women to present well. And this is, I guess what she's kind of...
I think that's true. Mm. I mean, I think it comes from within us as women. It's foisted upon us by society. We get it from men as well.
Well, tell us about the men.
Look, I think men also want to look their best. And men, again, they're living longer, they're working longer, they want to look. A lot of men actually, they worry when your person on the text line said the forehead and the 11s. What yes. they're talking about with the 11s is the frown line. So that's in between the eyebrows. So a lot of...
Oh, and it makes an 11.
That's right. Oh, and so
got it right.
A lot of men feel that it makes them look very angry and forbidding, and that they, when they walk into a meeting, everyone thinks that they're scary. And so they don't like it for that reason. A lot of men have broken capillaries that they want treated because they worry that people are going to think they're hitting the bottle. Maybe they are hitting the bottle, but they don't necessarily want everyone to know. But, there's plenty of treatments that men have. Men hate their double chin. They hate the sort of jowly look. And also, often you'll have men who carbo-loaded their whole life. They played heaps of sport and suddenly they hit, 25 when everything heads south, all our self-function, our respiratory function, everything
25.
Starts. I know, it's depressing. It's a gradual decline. But, and so these men can suddenly, put on quite a bit of weight, and because they're used to eating in a certain way but they're no longer exercising. We all know our metabolic rate slows. As I said, we're losing muscle. So they also want treatments.
That is interesting, isn't it? Someone here, Sophie, says, I've been getting Botox since I was 32 and I'll be 42 later this year. I get a filler once a year now too, always at a dermatologist practice. It makes me feel presentable. There you go. Let's hear from Julie, who's got a sort of related question. Good morning, Julie.
Oh, hi. I don't like the fact of grey hair.
Grey hair?
I'm a size 8, always been a size 8. But what to do about the grey hair? Because it's not good for your hair to dye it, or are there dyes that don't hurt your hair?
Well, dye doesn't really affect the hair itself because it's just coating the hair shaft. So it doesn't affect the hair bulb. When people are bleaching the hair or straightening the hair, that actually affects the chemical bonds within the hair. But I think you're quite safe to dye the hair. Obviously, unless you've got an allergy to a particular hair dye, there's no issue with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. I'll try that because apparently it adds about 8 years.
Takes off, yeah. Well, that's right. Or conversely, takes it off when you get rid of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, I'm perfectly happy.
Good on you, Julie. Look, thank you.
And I was going to say, prepare for menopause from about age 30 with your diet and exercise.
Sorry, what was that? I didn't catch that.
I suggest you prepare for menopause from about age 30 with your diet and exercise.
Right.
The next 20 years.
Okay. All right. Look, thank you for that. Gosh, it's hard work being a human being.
Oh, tell you what. Especially a female.
1-300-222-702. Here's someone talking about the Friends reunion. And anyone who watched the Friends, if anyone watched the Friends reunion, this has brought life on the stage. The three men had aged appropriately with inverted commas around that, lines on the face and carrying a little extra weight. The same could not be said for the women. So obvious for all to see the different standards and what is the hope for the non-celebrity. Another person here is saying that I've just turned 60 and I think I look okay. I've had nothing done except with the exception of a good healthy diet and light exercise such as yoga and Pilates and walking regularly. I started a new job during COVID and interviewed behind Zoom. I'm an expert in my area and I know I got my job because of my experience and education, but I dread when we'll be asked to go into the office for meetings as I know that I fear that they will see me as an old woman. So, yeah, some of that pressure there indeed. Okay, so look, you know, when you do these procedures, we're talking, you know, some of them are not as expensive as others.
Yeah.
What are your basic recommendations for people? How do they do this research?
Look, you know, I mean, I know I might sound a bit like a broken record, but I think the thing is, you know, if you're not trained in the area, it's really hard for you to do your research. Your best port of call is to pick someone who is trained. So pick a specialist and they will have done their research. As I said, this new device I just bought, I read every single one of the 30 peer-reviewed studies. I spent 6 months looking into it before I bought it. So if someone comes to my practice and has it, they know that I've done all the research and I've read all the papers. That would be my best advice. Another option is someone can go, people don't think of this, but see your GP. Ask your GP for advice. Look, I'm feeling like I'm looking tired or I think my tummy needs, you know, is there something I could do for that? Who do you recommend? They're always a good port of call. People feel a bit embarrassed to talk to their GP about it. They don't think of it. So instead they talk to their friends or they're going to shopping centre clinics and things. But you're much better off with someone who actually has proper medical training.
Okay, safety first. And, you know, if it's for you, then that's a motivation. And if it's not, then maybe think about why you're doing it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, fantastic to talk to you and talk about this, Rita Gupta. It's such an enormous part of cultural life, but also of the economy, you know, billions of dollars in Australia, you know, spent on this every year. And I don't think we ever really stop and talk about the procedures or even why people are doing it.
Yep.
So there you go. Yeah. Look, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Ritu Gupta, a specialist dermatologist, and we're talking about some of the newer treatments that people are using, including fat freezing and fat dissolving and heat treatments and infrarays and ultrasounds. What about that machine that makes you look like you've done 20,000 push-ups? Wow. Okay. Expensive stuff. But you know, I guess, you know, that's what's keeping a lot of those Hollywood types in work.